Greetings. This is James Gill with Edge Rich Talk Radio and ESETI Stargate, where you can actually go in and check out the show and interact with the people on the show and other wonderful people there, the ESETI family. A little heads up there, we just got a notice that we have 33,333 subscribers. You know, what are the odds of that? That's crazy. And God, the numbers are crazy that are coming up on the site lately, but thanks to all of you. You're making things happen here. I know things are going to get really busy here because everybody's home. You know, everybody's got nothing else to do but to watch these shows. We're going to cover a lot of that today. I really want people to check out. There's a guy, I think it's Dr. Shiva, and he's on the X-22 report, and I think Gary Franchi also. You know, Google it. Check this guy out. He just nails it as to what's going on. And we'll cover a lot of that, but I think everybody really needs to check out those two sites, Gary Franchi or the X-22 Report, or just Google Dr. Shiva. And I guess he's running for senator, I think, in Massachusetts or something like that, but one of those states. But he's really got his act together. I mean, this guy, you know, might end up being our next president after the second term with Trump. there's so much going on. I don't know where to start, but I just want to bring our guest on. And we've got Alex Bloom, and he's a clinical psychologist, and he's bridging the gap between spirituality and psychology, which is a much needed event to happen. I know I've worked with university professors that would have people that they just couldn't help. You know, these people had some severe trauma. They couldn't go there. They couldn't figure out where it was. And, you know, a lot of times it goes into past life or it goes into, other things happening, you know, other influences, unseen negative influences. So I can't think of a better person than Alex to. Hello.
Hello. We have.
Oh, there you are.
There.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I just went, what was that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we're going to, whenever we cover these topics, we're going to get some interference. So it comes with the show. I just tell people just hang in there, because, you know, it comes with the show. But anyway, I'd love to talk about your take on, I'm sure you're watching this coronavirus thing. Have you kind of like, are you doing work from home right now? Or
I am, yeah. So I have completely moved full time to working from home. I have a spare bedroom, and so that's now become my office. And my little kitty Stella sits next to me every day, and she's my little partner in crime. And nice. It's actually been a pretty seamless transition with telehealth to kind of transfer all of my clients we have a HIPAA secured electronic health record program that we use. So we were already set up for telehealth, and now we've just seamlessly transitioned. And boy, I have job security, let me tell you, because there's been an influx of intakes and people coming in to want to look at, you know, and explore and kind of address, I guess you could say. It's not so much anxiety, which honestly surprised me. Yeah. I thought there'd be more clients that want to come in and work on this fear with the virus. But it's more of the stress and strain of how the virus has affected their life has kind of pushed them up to a threshold of like, okay, maybe now I need to go finally talk to someone about my issues.
Yeah.
So.
I just touched my face. Oh, no.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, according to this Dr. Shiva and several others, all these doctors are now just flooding, you know, YouTube right now talking about the truth about what's going on here. And I've seen you go to these hospitals, there's nobody in there. And
I've seen those videos, I know.
Yeah. And you go, well, okay, what happened? Did everybody stop having heart attacks? Did everybody start having strokes and breaking legs? And it's just like, where's all the people? I mean, there's nobody in there. How is that? You know, I don't.
And the cause of death is starting to shift. You know, I mean, the cause of death for like heart disease and heart attacks and whatnot, like that's significantly going down. And of course, the rate of coronavirus cause of death is going up. So a lot of questions that are interesting.
All of a sudden, people just stop dying of everything else, and now they're just all dying.
Did you hear about the governor in Connecticut?
No.
So I guess I was listening to a video clip from Candace Owens, and she was saying that this governor tweeted about this young child, an infant, that had died from coronavirus. Come to find out, the baby did not die from coronavirus, that there was an in-home accident. So I don't know if it drowned in a pool or what happened, but you know, the governor then incorrectly labeled the death. And so her argument is, look, you have freedom of speech, but if you go into a movie theater and you yell fire, that's a felony. And so where's the line when you're spreading not only fake news, but like news that could be harmful and obviously fear provoking, that's inaccurate. So
yeah, I agree, because, you know, I found out too, is that, you know, they're also quoting these other kids that have died, and, you know, there are babies that were premature and things like that. And, you know, they were, had other complications, and they said, oh, it died of the coronavirus. And, you know, a lot of people are, have severely compromised immune systems, and they're the ones having the most trouble with it. But, you know, according to all the doctors I've heard on YouTube that are actually treating people, they're saying that this is really a mild flu. It's not anything like the last flus. The death toll is way down compared to the last flus. And they're saying just, you know, get some quinine water and up your you know, your vitamins, your A, C, and D, and also zinc, quinine water and zinc. They said they're you know, giving this to their patients, and the next day they're feeling better and they're pulling right out of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it does seem, okay, if this is the case, then something else is going on, because nothing is adding up. So the bottom line, if things aren't adding up, there's something else happening. And that's what we need to look at, what else is going on. And I've heard different stories, everything from, and I think this is, might be more accurate, is that there is a lot of the child trafficking and that stuff being stopped, and they're shutting down the underground tunnels and facilities and things, and a lot of these kids are really messed up, and they've been using them for adrenochrome, and it's really sad when you hear about this, the condition of these kids that they're bringing up. And they said that's what these triage places are about, and setting up the hospitals for, not for coronavirus. But you know, my take on it is that I think the deep state released it, and because they had to kill the economy, because Trump was becoming too strong, so they had to kill the economy, and that's how they did it with this false flag. But it's turned out to be a false flag. I'm not saying it doesn't exist; it does exist, and some people are dying from it. But if you look at the numbers compared to any other flu, it's nowhere near the numbers the death toll with the other flus. And so, you know, what is really going on? And that's the question people need to ask. You know, the numbers aren't adding up, the information isn't adding up, so what is really going on here?
And to think about how far spread this disease has come in such a short amount of time. I mean, good Lord, just from the last time I was on the show, between now and then, the whole world has changed. You know, I mean, the entire world on lockdown. It, like I was telling a client earlier today, it's like, not only is it on lockdown, but it's as though all of us as a global world have just taken one giant inhale, and now we're holding our breath. And we don't know, like, what's going to happen in the next few weeks, next few months. I mean, we'll see. But you're right. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of, like, the death, and you compare the toll numbers of those who have passed away, and you compare that to other viruses that we've had, you know, in the recent future, and the things aren't adding up in terms of the extremity of how we're all approaching this. And I was reading just briefly earlier today, I think it was Australia, that they're going to soon be implementing drones that will be going around, and they can tell your body temperature and whether or not you're coughing, and they do like a facial recognition piece along with that too. So it's just another layer of like 1984.
So everybody should get sun lamps and cough on a regular basis. Just
right?
A frenzy, you know.
Come to the forefront.
I've never seen it. Yeah, we're just over there in Australia, and I've been over there, you know, twice now, And, you know, they took their guns away. They've got cameras everywhere. You cannot even drive without a transponder on your car. And they know where you are when you're there, everything. It's just, you have to have these transponders on your car, and you have to pay by the, every time you drive under there, they ding you, and you have to pay. Wow. It's, I don't think I'd do too well over there, because I'd just be driving all over the place. it's my nature, but I don't do well with suppression of rights. But it's really gone in that direction, and I think there's probably going to be a massive cleanup there, you know, just like here. They probably have their queue there too. Yeah.
I put mine in the kitchen, but I was drinking out of that same cup today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting, but you know, I've been really trying to get some information on, now I've heard like secondhand reports from people that know nurses, you know, in the hospitals, and they said they're dealing with these kids, and they said they said that people rescuing these kids are having breakdowns, and they're just not geared to handle what they're seeing, you know, and things like that. And that would be where you guys would come in, you know, because
absolutely.
Yeah. How would you deal with that? I mean, can you imagine going in there and finding all these malnutrition kids and being just totally the psychological abuse that I don't know. That's mind boggling.
It is. So I think part of this is, it comes down to like the briefings ahead of time. So if, you know, I haven't seen any hard evidence that this is going on, but I've heard so much chatter that it really makes me like wonder if this is what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
And then of course, like with the two shifts with the crosses, the three crosses,
how
Keith says, watch the water. So, I mean, from the, so there was a picture, you've probably seen some of the pictures that have been released that are somewhat questionable about the patients that are in on the shifts and kind of what's going on there. But they look, I mean, dirty, which I think is odd, because if you're transferring a patient from like a hospital to the ship, like why would they be really dirty or like disheveled, you know? So that's confusing to me. But I think in terms of like trauma, like for these, you know, agents going down to these tunnels or wherever they're headed, I think the biggest thing is like briefings ahead of time, like for the soldiers to be prepared of what they might encounter. That's a significant reducer if they have that preparation ahead of time in terms of them, the likelihood of them getting trauma, you know, later on. I read a meme earlier today, so I don't know if it's true or not, but they were saying like, what would happen if they were to encounter like reptilians down there and didn't have a briefing on it? You know, can you imagine like the soldiers seeing that and not knowing what's going on? Like that would freak them out. Uh-huh. So, but either way, I mean, let's take a hypothetical of like these children who have never seen the light of day before. They're going to have a vitamin D insufficiency. And that is a significant issue, of course. But some of these, I mean, I've heard crazy stories of like having, not fully formed features on their body, you know, and the depth, if, you know, all of these stories that we're talking about is true, is just beyond heart-wrenching. It's unspeakable in terms of that. And so you've got so many layers of trauma here of the survivors themselves. I mean, I've heard stories that they can't even talk. Some of them can't walk. They live in cages, you know? So I think, my God, if this is true, how horrific. It's unspeakable. And I know Trump has been very explicit in terms of talking about human trafficking. He just said it the other day on a presser of one of the reporters. This gal is really sharp. She works for OAN. And she went with Judy Giuliani, or Rudy Giuliani, that one. She went with him to Ukraine and kind of recorded his documentation all of that that he was doing for his podcast. And so anyway, this was, it looked like from the video that it was more of like a last minute question, because a lot of the press had already left. But she turned around and she said, you know, are there any other intentions that you're having in terms of why the military is going out in force to go after these drug traffickers right now in the Caribbean and some other areas? And he went on a tirade for like over a minute, talking very explicitly about human trafficking.
Yeah.
And he said, he referenced, you know, women, of course, but he even said children. Mm-hmm. And I think that's huge, because if you're going after trafficking, that's a big feature that's unfortunately not talked enough about. It's more than just drugs.
Yeah. I think they're probably not talking that much about it because there's a major effort putting into it. So they don't want to give up, you know, their whole card and when and where they're doing it. But I know they do have to address it. But I think once the major operation is over, they're probably going to come out and say, look, this is what's going on. This is what happened. This is going to be very graphic. These are the people involved in it. And then people are going to be shocked when they see the politicians, Hollywood. When you see all these people involved in this stuff, they're just going to go, oh my God, you know? And then you get into adrenochrome, and that is a whole nother topic. That is sick.
Right. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. They're harvesting adrenochrome, you know, from these kids, you know, it's unbelievable. And, you know, it's so replete. I mean, I just finished writing an article and with the UFO community and the spiritual community both, and how they've been so infiltrated by some very big assets are now coming in and infiltrating the whole system, you know. And they're now controlling the narrative, and it's gotten so bad that, and this money has these Luciferian satanic connections to it. I mean, these people openly talk about it, and they don't have any problem even saying who they are. Wow. And so, you know, it's in court documents, it's everywhere, you know, I've seen it. But, you know, you look at this and you go, and it's just like a frog in the pot, you know, it's just like they kind of snuck in and they a little more money. And the next thing you know, they control the narrative. They totally control the narrative. They control the conferences. They control the Hollywood, you know, all the alternative shows, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty soon now you follow the money and you track it back and you go, oh, it's the same guys, you know.
Yeah. It's a spider web, right? It just goes out everywhere.
Yeah, and it started with the Rockefeller Initiative and all the people involved with that, you know. And you hear people in the UFO field name drop, you know, Rockefellers, Podestas, Clintons, all that stuff. And you know, how they're best buddies with these people. And so it's getting harder and harder for people who are authentic to get their message out there.
Yeah.
And I think because they're a threat to those who are not, you know, the people who are not authentic and the people that are frauds and whatever.
Exactly. I think what we're seeing is a real pressure point, a culmination of all these factors coming together, because, I mean, let's be honest, we're in a silent war right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really is kind of dark versus light. And so once this really comes to pass of learning about child trafficking that's gone on for a long time, I mean, this isn't new. I mean, no. Trump recently said in a press conference, it's been going on for thousands of years, right? As we know. And so when that hits the masses, there's going to be obviously an extreme uptick in terms of them going through their own trauma, their own dark night of the soul, as we did when we were first learning about these truths. You know, it's hard to sit with. It's hard to sleep at night sometimes when you learn about that. I think of like Liz Crokin and all the work that she's done just magnificently. But it's a cross you have to bear once you learn this material. You can't fully turn it off unless you go to extreme cognitive dissonance where you just disregard it altogether and you say none of it's happening, it couldn't be real.
Oh, yeah. But what are those stages? I can't remember. People go through these stages. First they deny it, and then they totally come after you. I can't remember what the three stages were, you know, and then catch on the back at the end or something like that. Or...
Right. Yes. Is that, I don't know. I'll have to look it up. When we do our chat for this, I'll look it up and I'll type it in there so we can talk about it. But it's a philosopher. And anyway, it's like first they deny you and then they get angry at you. And then finally they accept you or something along those lines. But, we've all faced that too.
Oh, yeah. I think it's funny because the things I've been talking about for 30 something years are happening now. You know, I've even written books about it and everything. And now it's happening, you know, and you gave people a little forewarning on all this stuff and the changes, social, economic, and physical changes happening now. But, you know, and it's funny because, you know, I have people, somebody came up to me and they said, I was talking about the Palladians or something. And they said, did you run this by, you know, these other guys, you know, and I go, are you kidding me? Those guys are newcomers. you know,
noobs.
I've changed people's diapers, you know, that are younger than them or older than them right now. But it's just kind of funny, you know, and, you know, that's what I finished this. I'm really deciding whether I want to put this newsletter out because everybody goes, well, you're being negative. You know, you're focusing on the negative. And I go, well, you know, it's a pretty hard hitting one. And it does expose, it doesn't name names, but it exposes what's happened and what's happened to the conferences, what's happened to the, you know, all these shows and everything else and how they've been totally usurped and how, if you are authentic, good luck getting on any of these shows because they're all about, you know, keeping the suspense going, keeping the money flowing. You know, they're about entertainment now. It's all about entertainment. Who can come up with the most whacked out, crazy story is going to get top billing, you know, and it's just become a show. And the people who are authentic that really have a message out there are just getting pushed out. And most of women too, a lot of women have just been totally pushed out of ufology, especially.
But, you know, I think as a result of that, though, I mean, they're being pushed out of every capacity, whether it's conferences or shows, like you're saying, on TV or whatever. But I think that's really where this alternative platform with, you know, like, let's say citizen journaling.
Yeah.
Or, you know, shows like yours where it's kind of YouTube based and podcasts and whatnot. Like, thank goodness we have the Constitution still in free speech and platforms like this where we can have the freedom to put this up. And that's why, you know, these types of shows are really kind of going like gangbusters because people are tired of inauthenticity. You know, you can feel it in your gut. You can feel it in your soul when you're listening to a message that, yeah, it might be entertaining, but is it really true? Does it resonate with you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I always tell people, look, we're not telling a story that's 60 years old or 70 years old. It's still happening now. And you can come out and have your own experience, you know, and is it, and we're not going to say, are they real? You know, we know they're real. We know who's on the ships. We're on a first name basis with some of them, you know, and we know why they're here and we know their ancient origins, you know, they're our ancestors, a lot of them, you know? And so when you have all that information, they don't want that out there and it makes the other guys, the frauds look bad.
Yeah,
you know, it makes them look bad. So there's a lot of jealousy and competition, unfortunately, which is an oxymoron to have that, especially in the spiritual community.
You know? Yeah, I've always thought that too.
Yeah, I go, how does that work?
You know? Yeah, but, the irony.
Yeah, there's a lot of it though.
Mm-hmm.
But going back,
I know I've been to the ranch a couple times, and every time I've been, it's been, I'll use the word ineffable in terms of the experiences there, because when you're trying to look through the lens of logic and explain what you're seeing in the sky or the brightness of the lights on the mountain 13 miles away, you know, it's like you can't logically refute this in a way that's going to make sense. And so if you're not prepared or interested or wanting to understand something that breaks the boundaries of, you know, what is considered normal, quote unquote, then you go into this extreme, like, state of cognitive dissonance where you have to shut it off. You have to just say it didn't exist. But for most of the people, of course, who are open and wanting to have such an experience, I haven't been let down, I'll tell you that.
No, thanks. Yeah. You know, it's funny because over the years, I mean, we've been here almost 34 years now, and people have been coming for that long and have seen, you know, we have Air Force base commanders, you know, triple PhD Boeing engineers, all these guys that are seeing the ships. And I still have people saying we're frauds and there's nothing here and that we faked everything. And I go, you know, how do you fake 200 people in a field watching a massive ship come over treetop level, powering up, making a turn, you know, these massive lights going on the mountain, take off and go up into space? I mean, how do you, you know, I go, give me an explanation for that. You know, give me your rational explanation for what we have on film with hundreds of witnesses, you know? So, so it's, I mean, there's been over the years, so many people here, when people attack me, usually all the people that have been here go after them. it's really funny because they, hey, I was there, I saw it, and you are full of it. You know, they just totally come down on them, as it should be. You know, I mean, that's
right. Well, and you know, James, you've done a really good job in terms of documenting a lot of your experiences. I mean, I remember last July listening to your presentation, and I was so blown away in terms of the depth of the video footage that you have. I mean, you have some of the best in the world. You and, you know, Peter Slattery, of course, as well.
Exactly.
Impressive.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, I was in the article, I was talking about that, and I said, I want you to think about this. I said, when you have, you know, hundreds of witnesses at a time, you have these ships powering up, you know, treetop level powering up, interacting with people on the ground. You have things on the mountain going into space, taking off, going into space, all on film. You have the candle power of those ships, and it's all been investigated. I'm forgetting his name right now, I'm brain farting, but we had a guy come up here with $100,000 with the gear, and he had all the, thermal cameras. He had, you know, the night vision. He had everything.
Wow.
And he documented everything. He said, look, I can't explain these lights. He said, they're, it's cold light. It's from starlight. Wow. It looks like it's from space. And he said, there's no heat signature here. There's no people. There's no tents. There's, you know, there's nothing up there. You know, what are these lights moving all over the place? You know, he said, they're intelligent. They're interacting. And they're taking off, you know, into space. So, you know, you can't beat that. You know, when you have that much documentation and equipment here and everything else,
but
you're still going to have these people that have an agenda. And you know, I think their agenda is either jealousy, competition, or their shills. You know, that they work for some agency and they're a shill and they're there too. And you know, and I see there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of competition too in this field, but I've never seen the arrogance of people, the nuts and bolts, who said, well, you know, you want everything to be nuts and bolts and you call yourself a scientist. I'm a scientist. And I said, really? I said, well, all your scientists believe there's at least 11 dimensions out there. They're non-physical, but you want physical proof of non-physical events. How logical is that? You know?
Yeah. Well, and there's a difference between science and scientism, right? Like scientism is like where you turn into a religion. And I mean, I've seen so many examples of like the scientific method not being used. I mean, that's the basic rubric of what science is all about. And people have their own agenda of what they want to see and their own biases, and they're not following the main protocols.
Exactly. You know, I want to get back to these kids. You know, it's been a topic for me, and I've always found in meditations, like Mary would come to me, and that's another thing. We have the most incredible footage of masters actually appearing here, and monks, you know, Taoist monks, people like that have taken these photographs along. I've taken some, other people, and that's happened as well. But I was meditating and I kept getting the same information from these people. And, you know, one's Mary and the divine feminine energies. And they kept saying over and over that, this whole, what they're doing to the children is what's going to take them down. The whole network, it's going to take down the whole deep state, that whole group. They're so heavily involved in child trafficking and drug trafficking, all these other things. They said that's going to be their downfall.
Yeah.
And it does seem that's how it is unfolding. And I was told this years ago.
Yeah.
That this was how it's going to go. And you know, I was thinking about the kids. God, I can't fathom what do you do? I mean, they definitely need medical treatment. They need, you know, vitamin D and A and E and all the other things to get them back on track. But God, the social conditioning, you know, that's out of my pay grade, basically. I don't even know.
Well, I mean, the depth of the trauma with the kids alone, it's hard to think of from the stories that I've heard about what these children supposedly have been going through. It's hard for me to think of a scenario that could cause more trauma to a human being than what these children have been going through. And so, and then of course it's like another web that it affects everyone, right? It's going to affect these soldiers who've supposedly, you know, gone in and been rescuing these children. And then of course, all the other healthcare workers who are around them. And then once these difficult truths, you know, come to light, and then the whole world, you know, when we learn about what's going on in depth, that's going to be another shock to the collective psyche, right? And so I think that's why, you know, one of my phrases that I've been using lately is that we've been exposed to this information ahead of time because we are the ambassadors of truth and of peace. Mm-hmm. And that's a really important phrase, I think, right now, because you're already seeing drip drops of information kind of coming to pass. Jeffrey Epstein was a perfect example of that.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And so that there's validation that continues to go on that, yes, this isn't, you know, the whole, I don't know if I can say the word, but the PIZZA gate, you know, and kind of, right? And all of the theories behind what that means in order to downplay it, just like the term conspiracy theory. And so, you know, there's been a false narrative of like, oh, Hillary Clinton in the basement of, you know, pizza parlors or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait a minute, let's look at kind of what's really going on. I mean, if you want to wet your whistle, Google Podesta art, you know, look up spirit cooking, right? Look up human cannibalism. Q posted about this today. So, you know, it's hard to swallow when you come across this information. And once it hits mainstream and people are forced to look at that, this stuff really does go on, that there are, you know, elites around the world who have participated in this. I mean, you've got whistleblowers coming out from all corners validating this, and court documents, et cetera, that once this really goes into and dips into more of the mainstream, you're going to have people go into shock. I mean, I won't be surprised if people commit suicide over this.
Or go into full on rage.
Oh yeah.
At the people involved in this. I mean, that's probably going to happen too. You know, I hate to say it, but there may be some like human pinata action going on up there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They won't be able to walk down the street, right? That's one of the phrases.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to be anger. That's like all like the stages of grief as you go through, you know? And so that's, one of the factors here. But you know, there's going to be a lot of shock, and then there's going to be a big call for a lot of us to kind of go through our own, forms of, trying to heal from that. And so we having this information, the need to be the ones who are kind of setting the tone, so to speak, for the ones behind us, because they're going to be scared and they're going to be confused. And that's part of why we've been given this information. I might even use the word like calling to some degree, that there, it's not a coincidence that we stumbled across this information so that we can be there for our loved ones and say, yeah, you know, some of this stuff is true. And to know that like it's going to be okay, and of course kind of being able to work through the trauma that goes on for like everyone, it's going to be important as well. And that's I think one of the gifts that psychology offers, is that it gives us the tools in order to work through this concept of trauma. And you know, we from like a formal clinical perspective, we have decades and decades worth of science behind how trauma works, how it affects the body, and what to do about it.
So, yeah, I think hope. What would you say the stages people are? They're probably going to go through shock at first.
And yeah, shock and probably denial.
Yeah, denial. You know?
And then when, as I said before, like the proof has to be irrefutable.
Yeah. Right?
But when you see documents of like, Trump tweeted about this like a year or two ago, right? About treason. And he had all the big name players in that tweet of the meme. You know, I mean, that's a big deal for a president of the United States to be saying that, right?
I retweeted that one a few times.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the stages, you know, so they're going to go through shock, and then they're going to go through denial, and then probably grief.
Anger, of course, is going to be one, or sadness. I mean, when we look at, like, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who developed the stages of grief, she later said in her writings she wished that she didn't use the word stages because it implies a rigidity and a stepwise approach that, like, well, once I go through shock and denial, then I can cross that off and go to the next one. Like, oh, what's the next one? Anger. Then I'm going to be feeling that. And it's much more fluid than that, and you can go back and forth, and you might get those to some degree kind of quote-unquote out of order.
Yeah.
So, you know, anger, of course, is going to be one. Sadness, extreme sadness.
I'm getting a lot of that. I have friends that, you know, they're calling me and they're very spiritual, and a lot of them are women, and they ask me, is this true, you know, about the children, you know, what they're hearing? And I said, yeah, it is, unfortunately, like this. And all of a sudden they just go quiet.
Yeah.
And they go, boy, this, I've just been crying, you know, and they've been crying for 2 or 3 days afterwards, you know, and very, very empathic people, you know, very sensitive people. And I said, yeah, good, get it out. You know, it's good to let it go. But, you know, I said, you know, at least you're out of denial now.
Band-Aid's been ripped off.
Yeah. So now let's do something about it. You know, let's start. You know, sending these messages, get on, you know, your computers, get on, send this information out. If somebody's got a good show on this stuff or covering these things, then blast it out to everybody you know.
Absolutely.
And start educating the people, because when this all comes to light and everybody knows about it, the people that are doing it are not going to have a home anymore. I mean, a lot of them are just going to go underground to their little mansions they have in New Zealand or wherever else they're going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or they have their own little islands and places like that. But Australia is another one. A lot of them are going down there. But
I heard the Playboy Mansion the other day is being dug up. I don't know if you saw that, but
I did see something on it, but somebody said, look at this, and it said the Playboy Mansion, but I didn't have a chance to read it. I didn't.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at it in depth, but someone was wanting to confirm whether or not that it was a real picture, but then I guess Jenna Jameson had retweeted it, and she said, yes, I can confirm that this is real. So I know that there were tunnels underneath the Playboy Mansion earlier on in kind of my investigations, that I had looked into some documents kind of showing how there were kind of tunnels built into the schematics of the Playboy Mansion. So I saw some, I think it was even mentioned in a Playboy magazine article once about that. So
yeah. So the tunnels, were they child trafficking there at the Playboy Mansion?
That's a guess. You know, I don't know. I mean, from the conjectures that I've heard is that the tunnels connect to some of the other, actors or actresses' homes other elites nearby. And I've heard other stories about how, from, like, you know, I think Jack Nicholson was one name that was put out there about how, like, his home connects to, you know, who knows what, some other famous actor, and that there's tunnels underneath there. So obviously I can't confirm that, but, you know, would it surprise me? No.
Yeah.
And of course we've all heard about underneath the Getty, right?
That's a big one, supposedly. I heard that's a real mess there.
Yeah.
But, too, you look at the military, how many they spent, like something $1 billion or something for tunnel gear for fighting underground.
Yeah. I saw that. So, they said, I think I heard one military generals saying that like all military troops now are being or have been trained of how to do underground warfare, which I thought was really interesting. I read an article just the other day that was published last August, and they were talking about how they were even wanting to go into college campuses and go into the tunnels underneath there. So I thought that was interesting too.
You know, I don't want to mention this campus. There's two campuses. I know there's some really nefarious stuff that goes on underneath them. And I was asked to go and speak there at an event. And one of the guys asked me if I wanted to go in and do some testing. You know, they wanted to do some testing on me to test my energy fields and psychic abilities and things like that. And you know, I asked my guides about it, and they said, don't touch that place with a 10-foot pole. I said, can't, you know, don't go. And don't go and do a lecture there. And by all means, do not go down into the basements or anywhere else.
Wow.
But, and they like to do that. They like to get people that do have certain abilities and test them and get your DNA and do a few other things, you know. So it's, you may not come out. And probably a lot of people haven't come out, you know. They're turning into some kind of super soldier or something like that. Who knows? Mm.
So let me finish my thought thread with the stages of grief here.
Yeah.
So the next one is bargaining. And so here it's people kind of saying, what? No, really? Like, how could you? Like, I worshiped you or I loved you or, you know, any sort of like questioning or wanting to, like, it can't be true. And, or if there's something like we can do to make it better, you know, or whatever. And then the last one is acceptance. So that's kind of big picture. But for folks listening to this, I want to give some tools that are kind of practical here to help them. So if they're listening to this live now, or if they're listening to this, you know, months or maybe even years from now when they're first hearing about all these things that came to light. So one of those is a concept that comes from HeartMath Institute, and it's based in California, and they've done an incredible job of really mapping out the physical organ of our heart, and they found a whole slew of different ideas. One of those is that we have brain ganglia in the actual physical organ of our heart. We have brain cells in our heart. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty trippy. It has its own intelligence. And of course, from like a idiomatic perspective, like the expressions that we have, you know, like the listen to your heart, you know, the heart knows the way, et cetera, that we've been. And even when I went to Egypt, you know, this past year and got to see some of the reliefs and hieroglyphs and whatnot. I mean, they clearly knew about the intelligence of the heart. And so what they found is not only kind of from a physiological perspective, but knowing that the heart actually gives off its own frequency, which was fascinating when I first learned that. Just like our brain.
Stronger than the brain. Yeah, the energy from the heart is so much, I can't remember how many times stronger than the brain. It's like,
can you believe that? I mean, it was like the energy, and they can measure this. Like, this is science. This isn't woo-woo. Mm-hmm. And so the practice then becomes for us to get into a state they call coherence, which means we are kind of getting into sync between the heart waves that are given off and then having our brain waves kind of match that. And there are some pretty consistent measures that we can use. I actually have one of them in my practice where you can connect a little earlobe doohickey to your computer, and you can track your what's called HRV, your heart rate variability. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the most reliable measures of stress in the body. Yeah. And I use this with some of my trauma clients about being able to then, okay, so let's talk about some sort of memory or situation that you've got going on, and you see a lot of kind of scraggly lines, and then we kind of I calm the client down, and then I have them do a meditation where they kind of get into their heart space and they're able to kind of slow their brain waves down. There's more of a sync, and you literally see it showing up through the program. And this is called biofeedback in order to see that. And then I have them kind of go back and forth a few times, so they see very consistently like, oh, here's my body's reactions to where my mind is going, you know, because the mind is the most powerful tool that we have. It's the most powerful Jedi weapon, if you will, in the universe. And so we can learn how to cultivate that. And first, it's about learning these tools. There's three stages. Second is then being able to practice these principles. And then third, we get to a state of mastery.
Yeah.
And once you can learn some of the basic but profound ideas that psychology has gifted the world already through science, mm-hmm. and then you apply that in a unique way, which means how I define that is that you're moving beyond like Western medicine. You're moving beyond kind of the mindset of here are these science-backed principles, but I'm applying it to just like symptom reduction. You know, like, oh, I've got a little bit of anxiety or depression. I want to make that go away. Mm-hmm. Like these principles are way more profound than that.
Yeah.
And when we apply that through the lens of spirituality, it is an absolute game changer.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of the platform that I'm really wanting to give right now to, well, quite frankly, the world, because I really feel like we're in this great awakening. Like I was saying earlier, there's this kind of pressure that's building of having kind of the dark being forced for really the first time ever to come to light and to show itself. And yeah. of course they're pissed because they can no longer kind of stay in the shadows. But there's so much light flowing in right now, whether that be light of truth, whether that be light of people standing up, whether that be light of people banding together. I mean, mm-hmm. my God, you look at like this Q movement this like illogical argument that it's a fringe conspiracy theory. Like the word fringe is laughable. I mean, there are literally tens of millions of people in this movement all over the world.
Well, the fringe and conspiracy both, that's what they use to minimize what's really happening. And it's exactly. massive, you know, and you know, the white hats, all the generals involved in all this, it's just massive. And I think, to me, you know, there's two things I understand. One is your soul sits right next to the heart. And there's actually a cavity in there. And doctors know you can't touch that with metal. It'll short out the whole system. They have to use plastic instruments in that area. But there's this little cavity that sits right there. Your soul sits right there. Your soul is connected to the source and your multidimensional self. The mind is a terrible master. It's a great slave, but it should be a slave of the heart, you know?
Right.
The heart and the soul, and your mind needs to be aligned with the heart and soul. Mm. And that's the way I look at things. But when I look at that, your intellect is it's like a drop in the sea of consciousness. And then you have your emotional body, which is much more vast. Absolutely. And then you have your etheric body, which holds all of your lives and past lives and all that wisdom, and then you have your other multidimensional bodies above that. Mm-hmm. But so many people are running on the intellect, and they think that's the end game. You know, the end all is the intellect, and it's a trap
of the ego.
Yeah, and you're settling for that drop.
Yeah,
you know that drop in the sea of consciousness. But
what
I see is that there's this activation going on. It's a fail-safe activation that the soul is being activated. The whole planet's being activated, the consciousness of the planet, which is in everything, the animals, the rocks, the plants, the humans, everything, it's being activated. And we're going through this shift. And if you're not frequency specific to what's happening, if you don't rise with this occasion, with this ascension process, you know, you're going to have a really rough time of it. And it also is accelerating karma. So it's a big accelerator. So whenever and so what I see is like universal law in all these multidimensionals, even our own multidimensional selves are invading. They're pressing in on the earth, and the earth is ascending. She's coming out, and all this stuff is getting caught in the middle. And that's what we're seeing all this darkness rising up and being uncovered and seen for what it is. And all the masks are coming down. And that's what I'd love to talk about, the masks. You know, there's so many people wearing masks right now. Mm-hmm. And people think these people are, you know, the top in the spiritual UFO field, whatever. and they've got their masks on. And some actually are doing shows with masks in the background. They're Illuminati masks. And those are the guys that are attacking us right now. It's hilarious, you know. Are you serious? You left your mask sitting on there, you know, in the background, buddy. You know.
Symbolism and, will be their downfall.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got their little minions, you know, that they've got, I hate to say it, but they've got an army of idiots, you know, that are out there trying to get us. They're all vying for a place, you know, in the spotlight. But it's ridiculous. But, you know, I'm hearing all kinds of stuff. And I go, are you serious? I said, well, come up with a name. Come up, you know, they're doing all kinds of attacks on me. Come up with a name, you know, come up with an event, you know, come up with the, you know, people have come and gone from here, from Ysetti here, and for various reasons, and some were kind of sad where they took things. And we had to send them down the road because they totally abused the drug, no drug and alcohol program, or they abused their power here, or they stole, you know, they stole quite a lot of money from us. But, and those are the people that they're gathering, you know, and they're trying to gather together, you know, as soon as they go public, go, okay, yeah, remember when you did this and this and this, that's why you had to leave, you know, yeah. You know, so, but yeah. they gossip and they rumor in the background, but they won't show their faces, you know, mm-hmm. You know, because they know, you know, it's like, but anyway, what I'm seeing is that this is all being pushed up right now. And I think that's, you're going to see a collapse of a lot of events and conferences and people, their networks are going to collapse. But there's a whole new group coming forward.
That's right.
That are authentic and that are really have their act together. And they're going to look, I don't care if you have a famous name, and I don't care if you know the Podestas and the Rockefellers and the Clintons. I don't care about that. You know, you're out of integrity and we aren't going to have you here, you know, mm-hmm. And that's what needs to happen.
That's part of the 5D.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like universal law, like that fifth dimension, that's what universal law is. It's that, you know, it's basically universal peace and brother, sister, love and unity, you know, prosperity for all or whatever, equality. That consciousness and energy is pressing in and everything that doesn't align with that. You know, so, and it's also all about service, you know, service. Yeah. And so the people that are self-serving that are doing these other acts that are, you know, out of line with universal law, all that stuff's going to come up and their masks are going to come down.
Absolutely. So let me say one more thing in closing. And that is, if there's one principle I want to leave folks with, it's this idea that we have to pay attention to our vibration. That's the number one principle. And often how that shows up is, of course, going to be with our emotions. That's an indicator that lets us know where our vibration is. And if there's one thing that people can do to kind of, if they're wanting to get more in touch with spirituality, if they're wanting to work through difficulties and whatnot, to pay attention to how you feel. Pay attention to what you're thinking about. Don't just ignore those things. Those are important indicators. And then, of course, there are tools out there to help you kind of leverage that and move past whatever stuck point you have in order to progress. So that's a really important point I wanna stress. So a couple things about me. So I am really wanting to get back into my YouTube channel. I'm wanting to start hosting mass meditations because there's so much power with group intent.
Yeah.
And I feel like right now, in order to get past this virus and us to kind of get on the other side, that we're needing more of that. So I want to be hosting some live meditations where maybe I'll do some Q&A with people who have questions about meditation or other subjects, especially about, you know, psychology and whatnot. So that'll be on my YouTube channel that I'll be starting soon. I'd like to do that maybe several times a week. We'll see.
That'd be great.
But all my information, of course, will be down below, but mm-hmm. It's just my name for my channel. So that's kind of one thing. Let's see what else. I was a part of Corey Good's recent video course, online course, and that was a lot of fun. I think you were there for the filming, and that was a blast.
We had a great time filming that here.
We really did, yeah. And I totally spilled the beans when it comes to like psychology and trauma work in particular. So for folks listening, if they have any interest in learning about some of the subjects that are going to be on that course, I can't recommend it enough. And we'll put the link down below as well.
Put the link there as well.
Yeah. Also, I am going to be a part of a conference that's coming up here in August. It's at the end of August, and it's called Camp Disclosure. And it's going to be a lot of fun. The dates are the 27th through the 30th, and it's near Asheville, North Carolina. And the long story short is a friend of mine had a dream about me, and she said that in her dream I was a camp counselor. And this dream stuck with her, and over time she said, you know, I really feel called to form a conference. Would you be interested? I'm like, sign me up. So anyway, she, long story short, she's got a whole group of people together, and it's going to be really on healing and ascension and all these kind of really cool ideas and some really dynamic speakers. And
I'll be there too. It looks like I'm going to be joining you there too.
Oh, good. Yes. Yeah. We're so excited to have you. Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be so much fun. Oh my gosh. This is going to sell out super quick. It's extremely high vibe. A lot of the folks are going from a group that a friend of mine, Angel Galindez, and I started called the Meme Gods. And and so a lot of the kind of our tribe will be there. And Jordan Sather's Destroying the Illusion, DTI. I'm a big presence on that group as well. So a lot of folks from that will be there. And it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. And I don't
know. I'm going to Canada.
I'm going to
Montreal, a big conference. Oh, cool. Yeah, it's a big conference there, and has all the top leaders of every religion, everything come to this thing. So I'm going to go and terrorize them again like I did last
time. Awesome. That's great.
but it's kind of fun.
But, and I'm really looking forward to seeing kind of what happens this fall. But right now I'm still slated to lead a trip to Egypt. And that's going to be from mid-October to early November. So we can put that description down there too. But this is going to be an amazing trip. I didn't get too much of a chance to talk about it the last time I was on, but we're going to see it all. I mean, it's phenomenal. Yeah. Like when I went this past year.
I might be with you on that too. I really need to get over there.
Unequivocally, James, like it changed my life.
Get over to Michael Tellinger. Yeah, and those guys. I'm working on that right now. I'm just waiting to see how this other stuff unfolds and making sure all the airlines are still working. But anyway, we hit the end of the hour, unfortunately. But you know, we always do. Our time flies when you're having a good time.
Goes by quick. Thanks for having me on. This was a blast.
Yeah, keep up the great work, and we'll stay in touch.
Yep, and I love your jacket.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. This is awesome. All right, James Gilman with As You Wish Talk Radio and East City Stargate. Have a great evening. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. And stay out of all the nonsense out there. Just, focus on universal law and be kind to each other. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.